Welcome to another sales podcast. My name is Paul Lanigan and my guest today is Stu Hynek. Stu is a cartoonist. Now, before you press pause, Stu also wrote a best-selling book, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone. So now that I have your attention, Stu, you're very welcome to the show.
Well, Paul, thank you so much. Glad to join you.
Stu, from looking at your, everything I've learned about you, that you're in the business of getting people's attention. Would that be fair?
Yes. Well, it's not only that. I'm in the business of helping a lot of people get attention.
Now, help me and our listeners who are going, okay, cartoonist, how to get a meeting with anyone. Could you help us and just connect those two dots, please, for us?
Well, sure. Yes, I'm a cartoonist, and I guess that's kind of an odd combination that I'm also a marketer. In fact, I'm a Hall of Fame nominated marketer and an author. And so it actually turns out to be a wonderful combination. It's been, particularly the first two, being a marketer and a cartoonist has been incredibly powerful. And here's why. Cartoons are just an incredible phenomenon. In readership surveys, magazines and newspapers have long found, just for decades, they found that the thing that gets read the most and is the best remembered part of those publications are cartoons. And it's just those simple little drawings and a caption. But if they're done well, they're things that you will remember for years. I mean, I remember one I probably saw 50 years ago now. And I'm only 50 years old, a little more than that. it's a receptionist in a hospital, and you can see the sign above her head says urology. So she's in the urology department, and she's answering the phone, and she's saying, "Urology, can you hold?" I think that's wonderful. Yeah. And I don't know who did it. It just stuck with me for decades.
Yeah.
So anyway. They're a great device. They get a lot of attention, probably more attention than just about anything you could either put on paper or on a screen. And so they've been great devices for me to then use in marketing to grab attention, let's say through mails, through mailings. And later, actually about the same time, I discovered that if I send someone a cartoon with a note, I get through to them. And I've reached presidents and prime ministers and celebrities and I've really pushed it because it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
To just say, who do you want to meet?
Stu, if you could see me right now, I'd be rolling up my sleeves because I really want to get stuck into the substance of this because I know there's going to be people listening to this going, sending something in the post, that's so old school. How does that work? So maybe you could talk us through the process of going from cartoons as a concept through to that individual, that high net worth individual you want to speak to, the president, managing director, CEO of a company. Talk me through the process. Maybe give me an example of where it all came together for you and you went, I have something here.
I will. And but by the way, I just need to speak to one thing that you said that, oh my God, that's old school, direct mail or sending something through the mail. I need to disabuse your listeners of that notion. Things cycle. That's all they do. They're not, there isn't, sending something through the mail isn't like a piece of bread that goes stale. In fact, what happens is a lot of people follow trends and then channels become clogged. And so if all you're doing is using LinkedIn, for example, LinkedIn is wonderful. It's an amazing thing. But if you're using crowded channels, you don't stand out as much. But if you use uncrowded channels, if you take a contrarian approach, that's how you stand out. And you want to stand out. I mean, that's a big part of, how do you sell if you can't break through? So, take away all of those, all those prejudices toward things that you think are old or old school and open your mind and start thinking about just, well, what can I use that'll work?
Excellent.
I had to say that.
No, you're right. You're preaching to the choir here because I saw it recently on somebody's comment on LinkedIn. And again, they said this, oh, that's so old school. And I think that's crazy. I remember the first time I got an email. I went home and told my wife, I was telling everybody, you'll never guess what, I got this email. This was fantastic. And now we put filters in place to block them. Same is true as letters or direct mail. If it's clever enough, if it get people's attention, it stands out because people just don't get them anymore. But I'm curious about the cartoon element in, just walk me through the process of, let's say we have a concept, products, whatever it is, and your goal is to get somebody's attention, somebody senior. How does that process work? What you know, do they get an envelope with a cartoon Ben Watt? And that's what I want to try to understand.
Well, I guess there are two ways I could answer that. I'll start with, I really should start with how I discovered that these things even work. A long time ago when I was starting my career, I wanted to break into creating direct marketing campaigns for the big magazine publishers here in the U.S. So that's Time, Inc. and Condé Nast and the Wall Street Journal. They're in their newspaper, not a magazine. But all these, Forbes is another one, Harvard Business Review, et cetera. I wanted to break in. And so my first two assignments, I wanted to break in, but also I wanted to use cartoons. I knew that they were a powerful device. So I wanted to use the two together. And my first two assignments were for Rolling Stone and Bon Appetit magazines. You must know those magazines.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what I did was I created a campaign. It's known as a test campaign because it tested against what their role, well, their control, the thing that they rolled out, the thing that they send millions of. Their best and most effective thing that they've ever sent in the mail. That's their control that you're always testing and creating against in that marketplace. So I created these two mailings and I used cartoons that were personalized. So these cartoons were written so that the gag, well, really the caption was written so that the so that there's a name, a data insertion point for first and last name. Mm-hmm. So these cartoons that showed up on the mailings were about each recipient. And that was magic. I beat the controls for Rolling Stone and Bon Appetit right out of the box. My first two assignments ever, going up against the best things that others have, you know, the people have that have been in the business a long time created, and you know, that was their controls. It was amazing to do that. So I thought, okay, great, this is my chance then to bring this out to the rest of the publishing industry. What that meant was I needed to reach about 24 VPs and directors of sales, sorry, not sales, but consumer marketing or circulation at Time Inc. and Condé Nast and Forbes and Harvard Business Review and Wall Street Journal and on. So what I did was I put together an 8x10 print of a cartoon, and it was personalized to each recipient, and it went with a note that said, this is the device I just used to beat the controls for Rolling Stone and Bon Appetit, and I think we should put this to the test for your titles. Well, that little campaign, I didn't know what to call it. I had to call it something, so I called it a contact campaign. Mm. So that little contact campaign to 24 people cost me about $100 to do. And I'd sent through the mail, by the way. And it produced, I should ask you, what do you think it, I'm just curious what you think it might have done.
I'm going to be honest with you because I've done my research and I think I've seen the answer to this, and it did jump off the page at me. I thought it was shocked. Was it 50%?
No, 100%.
You're kidding me.
100%. 100%. Yeah, I broke through to all of them. I got meetings with all of them. Not only that, all of them became clients. Some took longer than others, but they all became clients, and it was because of that campaign, that little campaign.
Okay, now
it cost me $100. It was worth millions of dollars to me. It cost me $100.
What I've got to ask you, Stu, is so you got their attention with the cartoon, and we can get into that process in a moment. Is what I'm really curious about is what comes after, because that kind of a direct mailer in terms of the follow-up is going to be different to maybe a mass mailer, even with the personalization that you might send out to 1,000 individuals. You sent this out to 14. Was it 14? You said
no. Two dozen. So 24.
Yeah. So, did you phone these up individually? I'm going to assume for 100% they didn't all call you.
No. I expect that in direct marketing parlance, there's the response device. So usually that's the thing that card falls out in your lap and you're supposed to fill it out and throw it back in the post. But in these campaigns, you are the response device. You've got to call back. Actually, you know, there's a whole, that little campaign morphed into something much more. And I have a whole system that I use for my agency clients that uses these cartoons. So now it's turned into what I call a big board. It's an 18x24 quarter inch thick foam core board. And on one side, there's a cartoon about the recipient. And on the other side, there's a message from the sender to the recipient explaining who they are, why they'd like to meet, and what comes next. and their brand is on there and so on. That's wrapped in or packaged in this brown corrugated cardboard packaging that has cartoon art all over it. It looks like something that came from, that arrived from a cartoon art a gallery. You know, it looks like, actually, when I carry them around, if I have to carry them around ever, I hate carrying them around now, right, because you get so much attention. I don't want to answer the questions. But and that is combined with a pre-call. You know, a lot of the people that we're trying to reach that are very, very important have assistance. A lot of people call those gatekeepers. Don't call them gatekeepers. Call them talent scouts or VPs of access. They're there. They are there to keep the wrong people out, but they're also there to let the right people in.
Yes.
So we start that process early so that the sales rep calls and says, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm calling because I'm sending a print of a cartoon by one of the Wall Street Journal cartoonists, and it's about your boss." And by that point, the assistant is saying, "Oh my God, really?
I love it.
And then you go on and you say, "Well, you know, I want this to be a surprise to your boss, but not to you. So would you mind if I send you an email with the details?" "Oh my God, yeah, of course. Here's my email address." You've already started a relationship with,
yes,
with this VP of access. And yes, and then, "Do you mind if I also, if I send you the tracking information as soon as I have that?" "Oh my God, no, please, please." So by the time you're done, you have what we would call in the States a quarterback. She is there coordinating or quarterbacking your campaign for you. They're watching for the big board to come in. They're making sure that their executive gets it and sees it. And so by the time all that happens, you know, these executives are smart people. They're watching and seeing what's happening.
Yes.
They're seeing that perhaps you also sent a card to the assistant with their own cartoon. And now it's up on their desk or on a bulletin board or something, thanking them for their help. I mean, assistants are very important people to the people they assist, and so how they're treated by the people who call in is very important to these executives.
For sure.
So they see all this happening and they're saying, and then finally the big board comes in, and hopefully this cartoon is right on target, and it's something that they're going to say, I love this thing. Let me show it around. They do. They'll show it all around the office. They'll keep it in their offices the rest of their careers. So by the time all that's happened, what we've set up and the goal of all contact marketing is to not only open the door, not only to get someone's attention, but to do it in a way that has them saying, "Wow, I love the way this person thinks. I have to meet them." So if you've done that, you're not operating on a cold call.
Yeah, no, this is fascinating. It really is. Yeah. The cartoon that comes in on this large poster board, I want to find out a little bit more about what's... I know you said this cartoon on one side and there's more information on the other side. Without disclosing clients or anything else like that, maybe you could give us an example of the kind of things, you know, what is on that cartoon that gets people's attention? If there's something you could speak to, that would be great.
Well, I mean, it's hard to impart the impact and value of a cartoon orally, but... I have sort of a lot of favorite cartoons, but one of the ones that is one of my favorites now, it shows these two women having a cup of coffee together in a cafe. And one of them is explaining to the other, she's gesturing with her hand because she's telling something she really believes. And she's saying, let's see, I've got to put somebody's name in this. So let's say we wanted to reach Richard Branson.
Yeah.
Right. So the caption would say, "Richard Branson says you can tell a lot about a person just by looking at their private island." I tend to agree. And I think, well, sure, I'm sure he would think that.
Yes.
But how many of us have that?
Yeah.
So
that's very personal because of obviously the person's name is in there and the private island is in there.
Yeah.
Do you ever, what I'm curious about as well is in terms of, let's say, hypothetical scenario, you have a new concept, a new product that you're developing, and it's a better mousetrap, and you want to get that message to somebody to get their attention, that they go, "Oh, I didn't even know this existed." That kind of thing. Is it ever that, or is it always more of the Richard Branson style cartoon?
Well, I mean, the cartoons. By the way, we shouldn't just talk about cartoons because contact marketing is much, much broader than cartoons. And I think your audience will be saying, "Well, great, great for you, Stu. You're a cartoonist."
Yes.
I hope
yes,
you have
yes.
fun with it. Yeah. You know, what can I do? And there are so many things that all of your audience could do. To everyone in your audience can use contact marketing. It doesn't require that they be a cartoonist in the Wall Street Journal. So, but to answer your question though, the cartoons are always about the recipient. I'm very careful about this because I always have these initial calls with first time clients where they're saying, "Hey, this is great, but you know, and I love that cartoon, but could we put our brand in there somewhere? Could we put our logo on one of the coffee cups? Could we mention our offer some?" It really needs to be about our offer because that's what we're paying for, is to get that out there. And I keep saying, no, what you really want is you want to get their attention. You want to get an impact. You want to get a meeting. Or if it's in a direct marketing campaign, you want them to open it. You want them to engage with it. You want them to go all the way through to the sale. Isn't that right? So let's not kill it by putting your brand into something that really needs to be about the recipient and the recipient only. And I'm talking about the cartoon. The rest of the piece can do all kinds of things to explain why you're reaching out. It has to, because they need to understand what sort of value you want to bring to the meeting. What sort of thing you want to, what's the issue or problem you want to help them solve. I mean, that's important to know. But I think before that, you've got to at least open the door a bit to having a conversation and perhaps a relationship.
So what you're saying is, and again, just to stay on the cartoons for a moment, we can move off that for a moment for other examples. Because I'm fascinated with the iPad one, which I read about.
And the sword.
So, yes, yes.
Pigeon. Sorry.
The purpose then of the card is really to make them smile so that they'll take your call. Would that be fair?
No, it's not. Well, I hope they'll smile. What I think they'll do, the thing is, humor is about truth. What humor actually is truth being revealed in a twist. That's why when we laugh at things, we'll often find ourselves saying, "Oh my God, that's so true."
Yeah.
Or I've been there. I've done that. I know someone like that. So even if all they do is smile and say, "Oh my God," and nod their head, I mean, I'm not looking for an out loud guffaw or laugh. I just want them saying, "This is really cool. Who sent this?"
Yeah.
Man, whoever it is that sent this, they're really, I love the way they think. We need more of that around. What are they writing about? What is it they want to talk about? Gotcha. That's what I want.
So it's almost like you almost hold that back as the mystery, what they want to talk about. At this stage, you just, it's more about, as you said, I like the way they think, and therefore they're more receptive to taking a call from you.
Yeah. And you know, if I might, could I share a story with you?
Please.
There's a story in the book about Dan Waldschmidt. And Dan is a turnaround specialist, but he is also one of the top sales bloggers in the world. And he his brand is Edgy Conversations. I mean, actually, his podcast and his blog and his book, best-selling book, are all named Edgy Conversations. So he's got that sort of knife's edge, ultra-competitor. This guy is also an ultra-competitor. He runs 100-mile races and wins. This is an amazing guy. So competition and knife's edge are part of his personal brand. And that comes out in the way that he searches for new clients for his turnaround service. Now, obviously, nobody's just sitting around saying, "I think I need a turnaround specialist." It's a trigger. It's triggered by an event. And he knows that when someone has missed their earnings estimates, that's the trigger. So he watches, he combs the business news for stories of missed earnings estimates. And when he finds one, he has this beautiful sword made up by the prop maker who made all the swords for the movie Gladiator. I don't know if you remember the movie, but
I do indeed.
These swords they're just incredible. They're very realistic and beautiful works of art. And then he has the CEO's name engraved on the blade and then an inscription. One of his favorites is his own: "If you're not all in, you're not in at all." Or another one that he mentioned that a quote from Tupac Shakur, and now I can't remember what it was, but they're pretty cool things.
Yeah.
That gets placed in this beautiful wooden box, felt lined. It's beautiful. And there's a handwritten note, and the note says, "Dear Steve, hey, business is war, and I know that you lost a battle recently, or noticed that you lost a battle recently. I just want to let you know, if you ever need a few extra hands in battle, we've got your back." Now that little note, it's handwritten. There are no logos on it. It's not on letterhead. It's just a handwritten note. And I usually will, when I tell the story, I'll say there's no branding, but there's actually all the branding in the world going on there, because yes. He's the kind of guy who will send you a sword and spend $1,000 to do it. That's what it costs, $1,000.
Wow.
Every time he does this, to say, I noticed you ran into a hiccup in your battle. You might need some reinforcements. I'm here.
Yep.
And he also gets essentially 100% response rate to that campaign. That doesn't mean that every time these CEOs pick up the phone that they engage with him, he doesn't sell that. It doesn't sell 100% of the people he reaches, but every one of them is saying, who are you? This is incredible. Tell me about yourself. Okay. I understand what you're saying. And you know, I do need those. I do need help. I think I need help. I need to hire you, or because I love the way you think, or thank you. I love the way you think. I think we've got it handled. But either way, he's struck up relationships that have paid all kinds of dividends. And by the way, spending $1,000 to reach one person might sound a bit extreme, but every time he sells one of those contracts for a turnaround engagement, it's worth $1 million and up.
Yeah, it's worth all about the numbers. It doesn't matter if it was 10,000, as long as the return is there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, once you let your mind go on this, you could, it's you could be as creative.
There's so many things you can do to break through. Yeah. So many things to do. And by the way, that sword, and you mentioned visual metaphor, that's an important point here. It's a visual metaphor of what Dan wants to bring to you.
Yep.
It's a visual metaphor of his services. Mm. So he does get to talk to his service about his services pretty quickly.
And there's something else.
What a great way to open up the door.
Yeah, there's something else in there, Stu, I think is important as well, is that the sword represents something else. You know, if you're uncomfortable with the sword, you're going to be uncomfortable with Dan, right? And therefore, it's a kind of a qualification device also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
He's telling you he's a pretty intense guy, and he is. Yeah. He's a very, very intense competitor, and that's exactly who you need when you just missed your earnings estimates.
For sure.
You need someone to get in and fight for you or help you fight.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by this because it's high investment without guarantees of return. You have to be confident in it. You have to work it.
You have to have the right audience too.
Sorry?
You have to have the right audience as well. I mean, you've got to be reaching out to the people who are worth it.
Yeah, I wrote that down earlier, actually. I was talking about, to me, some of the critical points here are, first of all, is making sure you have the right people. You've identified the right people, because you could spend a ton of money and a ton of time and get nowhere with this unless you're talking to the right audience. And then the other part of it was the right follow-up. Talk to me a little bit about that. You've already highlighted how you prime the audience, how you talk to the executive assistant, and have it ready so that at least you're somewhat guaranteed that your message is going to get in front of your audience. Talk to me then about the follow-up. What does that typically look like, sound like? What are you asking for?
Well, you know, I think the first thing you're doing is, if we're talking about either the cartoons or the swords, I would say the follow-up is, did you get the package I sent? And I think that alone is probably enough. It generally is enough to engage get the person on the phone and get them to engage in a conversation, because the conversation is, yeah, I got it. That was pretty cool. It's, you know, how did you come up with that? Or why, you know, do you do this? Whatever it is, the questions are, since they probably have questions. And that can certainly segue into a conversation about what it is the reason you're reaching out. They want to know anyway. I mean, if you created that kind of an impression, they want to know what it is you'd like to do for them or with them.
Yeah.
If they don't respond, though, there are a couple things that I think make sense. One, we all know that persistence pays off. Persistence is something that a lot of people leave out of their equations, and because of that, they don't connect with people, or they don't connect with the people they're trying to reach, or the sales don't go all the way through. And so certainly simple persistence makes sense. I will say, though, that the object of contact marketing is to open these doors actually immediately. Let's run a drip campaign for the next 24 months and see if we can open the door. It's about blasting that door open now. If you can imagine, I mean, Dan doesn't have to send another sword or a sword case or something. I don't know. He doesn't have to send something else. He just has to call and say, did you get it? And what'd you think of it? Did you enjoy it? I'm curious. I always love to hear the stories that people have to tell about what happened when the sword came into your office. Did you have a, I mean, you can see how you can engage them in a conversation.
When you call through, you're typically, again, going to get the executive assistant. So you could say the executive assistant, you know, did you get the package? Yeah, I got it. It was cool. I gave it to Steve. Where does that conversation, you know, well, can you put me through, or do you spend a bit more time inquiring about how it was received? Do you look for help from them? What does that conversation sound like?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, and by the way, I think you still want to involve the executive assistants where they're, I'm always relieved, I've got to say, when there is an executive assistant, because they really do, they just direct things and they do a wonderful job of it. I think they're some of the sharpest people in their organizations. So you could certainly look to them to say, what did Steve get the package? What do you think of it? And can I get, I'm calling because I want to get on the schedule. Now they might say, sure. Let's see, how does Thursday next week at 10 o'clock look? Or they might say, you know, he took a look at it. He loved it. He's really grateful for it. Thanks you for sending it. He wants you to talk to this person over here. Well, if you've reached out to, let's say, the CEO, and the CEO is now delegating it or referring you to someone else, you know they're going to take that someone else is going to take. They're going to be very careful about making sure respond, because they'll answer to the CEO.
Yeah,
so
you're guaranteed.
When you get a referral from the CEO, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the key message here as well is that whatever it goes through, is it's all about personalization and causing a reaction in the prospect. They have to sit up and take notice. And maybe it's a smile, but it could be a, like the sword, I'd imagine, doesn't necessarily get a smile, but it does get an emotional response.
I think it gets a lot of astonishment. I think they'll open it up and say, oh my God, who sent this to me? And I think that's just as good. Again, you know, whether you're sending a cartoon, a sword, or a pigeon, another story, whatever it is you're doing, you really, I can't stress it enough. You really want to leave those people thinking, wow, I love the way this person thinks. We got to do something together.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's got to be something that gets their attention. But I guess that's where the creative agency side of things comes into play.
Yeah, although, you know, I've got to say, I hear from a lot of people who've read the book now. Book's been out for 2 years. And so I love hearing from people who've bought the book. I mean, first of all, just to thank them for buying the book, that's a big deal to me. You know? Sure. But also, they've been telling me what they've been doing since reading the book and how this has changed their lives, how it's changed their results. And one of the things that I noticed a lot of people are doing is, you know, a lot of people are on LinkedIn, using LinkedIn extensively, and other social media channels, but particularly LinkedIn now. And they'll do what's known as a profile scrape. They'll do a lot of research on someone that they really would like to connect with. So that they check out what is this person talking about? What are they posting about? What are they interested in? What are their interests? What do they list as their interests? And they reach out based on something related to that. And I think that's pretty interesting. One young fellow who had just graduated from college read my book and started using that strategy, actually. And he started breaking through to people and accounts that none of the other people in his company were able to break through to. And he did that by crafting gifts that had something to do with what these people are interested in. One was interested in falconry, so he sent a falconry glove, and it resulted in not a sale, but a lot of really warm leads to or introductions to other CIOs who did have an interest and had a need for what it is that Dom was doing. Another one noticed that one of these people is really interested in cooking and technology, so he had an apron embroidered with a quote from Arthur C. Clarke, something to the effect that technology sufficiently advanced will appear as magic. or look like magic, something like that. Don't quote me. But and sent that to him, and he broke right through it. Again, this is someone that no one else from his company had any success reaching.
Yeah.
And they ended up doing a deal because of that apron. So he didn't spend $1,000. And it's just about taking an individual approach. I would say it's an ultra-personalized approach, but taking an individualized approach, because they're people, and you need to humanize yourself to these people. Think about all the people we connect with on LinkedIn. Yeah. And you forget these names very quickly because you connect with them, but how do you keep track of thousands of people?
Yeah.
Your brain can't do it. So you need to stand out a lot more. Using LinkedIn is wonderful, but that's a great example of using LinkedIn and other social media channels and then going to a different mode, sending something tangible instead of an instant message as a way to stand out and humanize yourself.
It's funny because I have this picture I often use in class, and it's a telegraph wire. And on the top of the top wire, there's all these birds, maybe 100 starlings side by side. And then on the lower wire, there's just one. And the caption underneath it says, "Which one do you notice first?" and it's just, it's a great,
I would say the stupid one.
Yeah, but the thing about it is where people really struggle, I find, is how to be the starling that stands out. I mean, I use it to say, first of all, to stand out and be different doesn't mean you have to be, you know, a different person. It's still a starling, but it does require you to make a bold move to break away from the pack. And but people, I think, struggle. Maybe it's a lack of creativity. Maybe it's a comfort zone thing. But what I'm hearing from you is that this method that you have been very successful for you is a way, a proven way to stand out from the pack and get noticed. After that, you are still working on your wits. You still have to strike up a conversation. You still have to be relevant. You still have to be meaningful. But it's getting the attention of that top individual. You said it earlier. You said the guy with the apron, nobody else in the company had been able to get this guy's attention. But because somebody did their research, it was that. They took the time. They found out what the prospect cared about and served that up and won as a result.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just a matter of being, you do need to be a bit audacious, but don't you need to be that in sales anyway? I mean, you have to be bold.
Yeah, you do, but you'd be surprised at the number of people who struggle with that. Or what they'll do is they'll try to be, say they'll do their research on a prospect, and then they'll send an email and they'll say, you know, "I noticed that you were a member of," or "I noticed in your talk, you know, on YouTube, you said something about the sword." And that is more effective. There's no question about it. But the fact is they sent it in an email, and therefore the email is the wrapper, and the email is just another email until at least they open it. But the chances are I may not even open it. Whereas what you're doing is you're guaranteeing that they'll at least open it. They have to open it.
And I would say, you know, isn't that a perfect opportunity to instead send a card and write a note saying, "I noticed when you in your speech you said this, and I'd love to talk to you about that some, because I've got a couple of questions about that."
Yeah, it's just that one step that's different. And we said it at the top of this that it's old school is the new way of doing things, because it's just different and it gets people.
It's not even that. It's just go, you know, why use crowded channels, or be smart about using crowded channels at least, and use non-crowded channels as well. Because if what you want to do is succeed, then you have to stand out. You're never going to sell anything. I mean, if you can't break through, you will never sell anything.
Yeah. So here's a question for you that pops into my mind, and it's only a disease that you're going to find in large organizations. But I can imagine there's a rep somewhere listening to this and they're going, "This is fantastic. This is exactly what I need to do." But because of their organization, they need to go through 1,001 different permission channels to just, you know, get some budget to do this or get permission to do it. And that kills it. Have you come across that? And if so, have you any tips for people?
I've got a really, this is going to sound very flippant and I don't mean it, but you can buy my book and buy it for others in your organization. And I'm, you know, I'm not saying that to sell the book, but I just, I'm saying that because I've heard from people who say, you know, our whole department has, everybody has your book. And in fact, the instructors are now buying the book for us and we're using it together. And one of them said, we have a discussion group on your book every week. And we wow. talk about what it is we're doing to break through. If you're in that situation where you're looking for someone saying you've got to have our permission before you use our logo on anything, and that I can kind of understand. But I would still say you still have you got to be bold. You got to. I mean, you will yeah. not. I don't think your company wants you not to sell.
No, so, not for sure. But I
so
think
find ways to do it. Do
I
it anyway.
You're going to have to fight certain individuals. There will be people in the marketing department who said, we want our logo on, say it's a cartoon. And I think somebody needs to be really, and I think you're right, buy the book, because I think you really need to understand the entire process, what makes it work. Not just that it works. We know it now that it works for sure, but what makes it work, and make sure that everybody in the organization understands that. Because if they don't, there is that danger. I'll give you a perfect example of this. I remember with a client of mine a couple of years ago, the sales organization, the product that they sold was to sales organizations. So they wanted to do this lead nurturing program. So for people who weren't ready to buy, they wanted to put them into a drip marketing campaign and stay in contact with relevant content. So they came to me and said, look, will you do a couple of podcasts with us on stuff that's relevant to sales? I said, not a problem. We did it. And then the guy who did the recording with me sent me a link and he said, it's up on the website. I had to click 7 times to get through to the audio. And I went to him, I said, listen, nobody is going to click 7 times to get to this podcast. The podcast's not that good. And he said, yeah, but that's our policy. And I think that's I guess, where I'm coming from. You know, that was their internal marketing policy. And that's just going to kill this. So I guess people need to really have that conviction and belief. And maybe do what you did with the executive assistant. They're going to have to set it up so that when they come in with the idea, people are already receptive, that it's not new to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, going back to your point about, well, that's our policy to fail, but is it really, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, I gave you that example of the young fellow who bought the book and used the apron to break through to his account. I didn't tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story is he was hired right out of college and it's a late stage, big startup. They were just bought by Cisco. They're huge. They've grown really, really quickly. And so, what they did was they hired him as a sales development rep and put him in a room with a whole bunch of other sales development reps. And one of the things that they demanded of them was that they make 100 phone calls a day. And he quickly found that by doing that, he was the results were just horrible. They weren't getting through. I mean, they might have one conversation a day that might be worth having, but they weren't selling anything. So he shared this with a friend one night, said, I don't know what to do. And the friend said, buy this book, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone. He did. And he said, okay, so in addition to my 100 calls, I'm going to do some research on this one prospect, this one account, to see if I can break through. And that's the apron story. So in addition to what the company was requiring, he decided to go above and beyond. The falconry story actually happened as a result of one of his colleagues started noticing, oh my God, how did you do that? We're beating our heads against the wall. We can't break through to anyone. Would you help us? And he said, well, sure. One of the first ones that he helped was an account that what they discovered was this fellow was really, I mean, the contact of the account was really, really interested in falconry, and they ended up sending a glove to him and he helped them out. So all of that led to, he ended up helping a lot of the people in his department, and that led to his promotion to sales manager within the first year. And that you do have to, I mean, that all happened because he decided he was going to stand out.
Fantastic.
Right? You just have to do it. Do it above and beyond what they're asking and requiring of you.
You're right. You have to have that initiative. Stu, unfortunately, we're almost up on time. So, Stu, your book is currently in hardback, as I understand it. And it's being released in softback sometime mid-March this year, 2018. It's available in Kindle right now, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but it's available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, and it's available in Kindle form. I think it's on iBooks as well. It's available in Audible has an edition, an audio edition of it. So it's quite available.
And it's, if people miss this at the top, it's how to get a meeting with anyone. And I think that probably says everything.
It does.
Fantastic. Stu, I really appreciate your time today. It's been fascinating. I could do this all day. There's so many insights in there, but it just, peel it all back. If you want to get a meeting with senior people, this is the way to do it. So go buy the book. Go to Amazon, download a Kindle, buy the hardback, buy the softback, but put this process in place. And it's going to have a direct and meaningful impact on your sales pipeline. Stu, thanks again. Really appreciate your time today.